two tickets to California, please?
That's $226.
Well, we only have $27.30. What does that get us?
Nowhere.
Corey's taking his brother Jimmy on a ride.
These two boys already traveled more than 80 miles across the state.
We've hired someone to find him.
What's his problem?
He's just giant.
But Jimmy's got a secret.
You got 50,000 on Double Dragon?
That could make this the ride of their lives.
Look at him. He's a wizard.
He's headed for the video championship.
This guy?
What is that?
Power glove.
Yeah, well, just keep your power gloves up for our rides.
With a touch of romance.
I am not kissing a boy.
And a ton of trouble.
That's huge.
We're too late.
Put me down!
Sorry about that.
You maniac!
They'll get there any way they can.
Jimmy! Here we come!
It's Jimmy!
Come here! Stop them!
Now, what do you think you're doing to him?
All his life, you've been telling him to do what you want him to do. How about once you ask him what he wants to do, huh?
Now,
Video Armageddon.
It's gonna take a lot of guts.
You can do it!
A little magic.
You're the best!
And the wizard, Fred Savage. The Wizard.
Welcome back to NXpress, the official Nintendo podcast of soundonsite.org. We are going to get right into the main event, our discussion of the cult classic film, The Wizard.
All right, so here's the thing. So I know for a fact that I've watched this movie several times in the past. Tim, I believe you've watched it before. Aaron, I don't think has ever watched The Wizard.
No. I've only watched it recently now.
All right. So, each and every single week we usually have a guest. This week we don't have a guest. So therefore I'm going to ask Aaron, you, 5 questions to kick off our discussion of The Wizard, the 1989 masterpiece directed by Tom Holland.
Okay.
I use the word masterpiece loosely.
I was going to say, I'm like, really? Did you just say masterpiece? Okay.
All right. Aaron, what is your favorite video game movie tie-in? Favorite?
Mortal Kombat.
What?
Yeah, I actually like the 95 Mortal Kombat.
I love that movie. Okay. Yeah. Question number 2. What is your favorite Nintendo console of all time?
Favorite Nintendo console? It would have to be the GameCube.
The GameCube. Now, yeah. If there was only one GameCube left in the world and one Dreamcast left in the world, and you had to destroy one of the two, which would you destroy?
Oh, man. See, I don't want to piss off any more Sega people. I'm gonna say Dream... Oh, God. That's a hard question, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man.
The Cube could be an opening to a new dimension. Yeah. The Dreamcast can be a portal to hell.
It's hard because each of these consoles had some really, really unique games on its system, but
right. And luckily, we have to speed things up, so you have 5.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Dreamcast. I'm sorry. Okay, Dreamcast has to go.
You said it.
I'm sorry, Sega Nation. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry, Sega Nation. They're not even gonna be present at E3 this year.
Sadly, but anyway.
All right. That was question 2, 3, 4. Question number 4. What is your favorite sequel for a video game?
Favorite sequel for a video game?
Yep.
I would have to say, for some reason, the first thing that popped in my head was Knights of the Republic 2.
Okay, so this leads me to my bonus question, Aaron, because you are one of our hosts. You get a bonus question. What took you so long to watch this movie?
In truth, I have seen it as a kid, because watching the last part of the movie when they're at Universal Studios doing the whole tournament thing, I do remember that as a kid, but it's just that I never got back to it like you guys did growing up. I don't know. I didn't feel like a reason for me to watch it, to be honest.
So it's like a faded memory. So yeah. for anyone for anyone who hasn't seen this movie, maybe we can give sort of like a plot summary.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you guys could help me out. So basically, this is a movie made in 1989. It's called The Wizard, and it's a movie about a trio of kids who make their way to a National Nintendo Video Game Championship called Video Armageddon, which is like amazing. Best title ever for a video game competition. Mm-hmm. And the grand prize is $50,000, which blows my mind because $50,000 back in 1989 must be like roughly like $500,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015. So it's weird because esports have been a long part of video game culture since the early 70s, but this really made esports like a big thing. Like after this movie came out, it really helped boost the popularity of esports. How much do you think a grand prize now at any esports event is?
Average is like 500,000 now. 500,000 to maybe like the biggest Dota 2 competitions, you'll see like maybe a million plus.
For playing what kind of game?
Dota 2 or League of Legends. One of those MOBA games.
Yeah, League of Legends is huge.
Yeah, League of Legends is huge. Especially MOBAs. MOBAs in esports is massive. And Call of Duty. And not Call of Duty, Counter-Strike.
Yeah, yeah. So the charismatic and rising star of TV's Wonder Years, Fred Savage, stars as Corey, the main character of the movie, who's a boy who escorts his deeply traumatized younger half-brother Jimmy, played by Luke Edwards, from a group home and sets off on a cross-country trek, chased by his dad, played by Beau Bridges, their older sibling, played by Christian Slater, and this really weird child finder slash detective hired by their mom to bring back Jimmy and Corey home.
Mm-hmm.
And then along the way, there's all kinds of madness. Like, this movie is so weird because they meet this girl named Haley, played by Jenny Lewis, who discovers that Jimmy, the youngest kid, is a real prodigy when it comes to video games. Like, basically, they stop off at sort of a convenience store, and he's playing, what was it, Double Dragon? He mm-hmm. scores, like, 50,000 points in, like, 30 seconds, which is like impossible, but anyways. And then they have this great idea to go to California to enter this video game competition with Jimmy, and along the way they stop off in Reno, they hustle at some arcades, they gamble at a casino,
everything that kids do, you know.
Yeah, everything. I know, right? It's like the '80s, man. The '80s, you can do anything. Yeah. You could do anything if you were a child in the '80s.
Yeah.
And there's this really weird sort of comic subplot involving the child detective who's trying to stop Beau Bridges from finding his own two sons in order to bring the boy back home to his mom so he can collect his finder's fee.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this really cool kid named Lucas Burton who they meet along the way. And Lucas tries everything to stop Jimmy and Corey from entering the competition, and then when they actually do enter the competition, they try to do everything in their power to make sure they lose.
Did Lucas really try everything to, I mean, like, he didn't seem like he was trying to stop them from entering the competition. You just saw him as like a simple rival. No,
dude, Lucas whipped out the power glove and showed it to the entire world before the power glove was released.
Yeah.
That's intimidation, man.
It's intimidation, but he didn't physically or like try to set traps to stop him from going, though.
But he whipped out the power
glove. It's funny that you mentioned the power glove because mm-hmm. this movie is worth seeing solely based on the scene with the power glove. Mm-hmm. Like, the way they present it is so hysterical.
this is the
over his shoulder, and it's like, it's the power glove.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Actually, the line is, "I love the power glove.
That's bad.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I just remember that line. I'm like, "You're so bad."
No, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
It is honestly perfect because that is without a doubt the most famous scene in this film when mm-hmm. Lucas whips out the power glove.
Yeah,
and
which without you guys mentioning it, like, watching it or revisiting it from since my childhood, I mean, it was the most memorable thing I took away from the movie was when he whipped out the power glove. I'm like, oh my god, this is so cheesy.
And do you know the story of this movie, like how Super Mario 3?
I don't know.
Tim, do you know?
Yeah, I do. It was the first time Americans, or I guess Canadians, anyone in the north, got a glimpse of Super Mario 3.
Is it only games or the entire or anything outside Japan?
Okay, well, like nowadays you would see game footage released online on Nintendo Direct at E3.
We didn't have that technology in the 80s.
Yeah, well, back in 1989, they had the brilliant idea of showcasing the first footage of Super Mario 3 in this movie. So if you wanted to see what the game looked like and get some kind of an idea of what to expect before purchasing the game, you would have to go see The Wizard on the big screen. Because, yeah, there was no Nintendo Direct. There was no E3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the same coverage at all. And I think that's one of the reasons that this movie has been called a feature-length commercial, is because Nintendo got to show off Mario 3. They got to show off the Power Glove and several other products before they were even out.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Okay, so The Wizard became one of the first movies to explore advertising opportunities targeted at gamers, okay, within a film. And ironically, for a film that has an awful lot to do with interactive entertainment, the director, Tom Holland, wasn't a huge fan of the medium. Like, he had no interest in video games. Like, they hired a director who never ever played a video game in his entire life. And here's the thing. So the movie was a box office disaster. It flopped at the box office. Mm-hmm. But Super Mario 3 went on to become one of the best-selling games in history. Like, there was, and I don't think there was a gamer who watched The Wizard and didn't want the Power Glove. And the Power Glove bombed. It was a huge disaster for Nintendo. It didn't sell. Mm-hmm. Nobody liked it. But everybody wanted it. What happened was, because of word of mouth, because it was not a very good controller, because people can also rent it at video stores, you know, a few unlucky people, or I would say lucky people, actually purchased the Power Glove. And then everyone was like, well, it's not worth the price because it was super expensive at the time, so no one bought it afterwards. But Super Mario 3, which is why the movie was made, I mean, the whole third act, the climax, all revolves around them playing Super Mario 3. Mm-hmm. That went on to become the number one selling game of the time. Of all time, at the time.
I mean, so. I wonder how much we can chalk up to The Wizard commercializing this game, or how much you have to credit that game for being maybe the best Mario game ever made.
Maybe, but yeah, and you also have to realize they had an amazing marketing campaign for Super Mario 3. It wasn't just that the footage of the game was featured in this Hollywood movie, but do you remember or have you ever seen the first commercial release for Super Mario 3?
I can vaguely remember it.
It's iconic. Basically, you hear the voices of a bunch of kids screaming, Mario, Mario, Mario. Mm-hmm. And then as the camera zooms out, it keeps zooming out until you see the whole globe, like all of Earth from outer space. Mm-hmm. And you see Mario's head, like his design, like the design of Mario on the Earth. You never seen that commercial? And you hear everyone saying Mario, Mario, Mario. And it lasts like maybe 30 seconds to a minute. No. And it was just like Super Mario 3 coming soon. It was amazing. You can see it on YouTube. But here's the thing. So a lot of people criticize the movie, like you said, Tim, because it's essentially this 90-minute commercial. But the strange thing is Nintendo was really hands-off with the filmmaking process. Like, it wasn't even Nintendo's idea to put the Power Glove into the film. Mm-hmm. It was basically someone from Nintendo, I don't know who, popped up on set and was talking to, like, the film producer and or director and was talking about the Power Glove. And they requested that Nintendo give them the permission to put the Power Glove into the film. And I'm not saying that Nintendo didn't want to make a profit from the movie. Clearly they did, and they wanted to sell more consoles and video games, but I don't think they are to blame for the poor quality of the picture. Like, if anything, you have to blame the director, the writer, the producer, Universal Studios, you name it. Mm-hmm. And what's weird is, although Super Mario 3 is featured heavily in the movie, has as the Power Glove in several Nintendo games, this movie was whoring itself. Like, they have a bevy of partner brands that are showcased throughout the whole entire film, including Hostess Chips. Do you remember the truck that crashes, the car? Yeah. Universal Studios, of course, which the whole entire last part of the film takes place at Universal Studios in California. Cosmopolitan, Vision Streetwear, New Kids on the Block, like you name it.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. It wasn't just Nintendo.
Well, here I thought, like, maybe these things were just ironic because it was the 80s. When I noticed all these things.
I think it was probably also adult filmmakers trying to appeal to the kids of the generation. Like, you think about what everyone was doing back then, and it was just playing the NES and walking around in their 80s clothes, listening to 80s music.
Playing the NES, listening to New Kids on the Block, reading Cosmopolitan, and wearing Street Vision wear. Totally. I don't think so. I really don't think that's what gamers were doing.
It defined the generation.
Yeah. So, Tim, do you actually like this movie? I mean, we can poke fun at it, but do you actually think it's worth seeing if someone hasn't seen it?
It is certainly a product of its time, and it has a lot of really, really hokey dialogue. And now that I'm thinking about it, it kind of is just a kid's Rain Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I kind of got that idea, too.
Like, now that I'm actually stopping to think about
it. It's not just a kid's Rain Man. It's a blatant ripoff of Rain Man. Like, shot by shot, scene by scene, almost. Like, scripted almost exactly like Rain Man, except they go to a video game competition.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it is maybe not a valuable part of video game history, but it is certainly a part of video game history. I do think it definitely set about some trends. It was a great use of commercial advertising, it has a lot of funny little bits that you and your friends can snicker about for years to come, including I love the Power Glove. The fact that Fred Savage character's name is Corey, which his younger brother Ben Savage went on to play Corey in Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
There's like so much just like tiny little details in this movie that make it so fun to view with a big group. And I would say it's definitely worth checking out if you've never seen it or experienced it.
And you can also watch a very young Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, it launched the career of Tobey Maguire.
Did you notice that, Rick?
Oh, yeah. I wrote a review of this movie a while back, and I actually linked up the video where you actually get to see Tobey Maguire at the end of the film at the video game competition. He's one of Lucas's like henchmen, right?
Yeah.
Standing in the background. It's amazing how Tobey Maguire is his henchman.
I think he's credited as Lucas's goon, if I remember right.
Oh, really?
Henchman, goon, yeah. But it's one of those strange 80s family films that you can't make these days. Like, I was just talking to my nephew about Home Alone, for example. You can't make a movie like Home Alone nowadays because everything has to be so G-rated, so neutered. Like this movie involves gambling, death, violence, mental health issues. You have a bunch of not even teenage runaways, they're like preteens running away from home, gambling, hitting casinos. They're in like car chases. There's some crazy man trying to kill them and their dad. I think Roger Ebert famously gave this movie a really negative review because he said that they weren't responsible role models for children around the world, which I thought was hilarious. I don't know about you guys, but when I was in high school, I used to go to the arcade all the time, and I honestly used to gamble at Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. So, and maybe it has something to do with this movie, but I remember when I was in high school and I watched this movie, I used to go every single day, and we would put down money on Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. So I used to gamble playing video games at arcades, and that was like the best time ever. Like, I loved those days.
Me too. Growing up, here in you high have school, it. Yeah.
N Express challenged Tim Mason at Super Smash Bros. And Ricky D at Mortal Kombat.
I will take on Rick at Mortal Kombat. I will love to do that one.
Yeah, I'm like thinking more like Street Fighter.
So or Street Fighter. I'll take you on a Street Fighter. Okay.
You cannot beat me at Street
Fighter. Oh,
well, it's not happening. Dude, I went to the arcade last
I went to the arcades too.
I went to the arcade last summer. I hadn't played Street Fighter in God knows how long, and I went with my nephew and a few of the kids from my day camp, because my nephew goes to my day camp, mm-hmm. and they had never been to an actual arcade, so I took them downtown on this big huge adventure, and we stopped off at the arcade, and I put 50 cents into Street Fighter, and let's just say that 3 hours later, I was still playing Street Fighter because nobody could beat me, and everyone was so pissed off.
Wait. On the same 50 cent that you played?
Yeah, man. You know the arcade next to Peel Street?
Yeah.
Downtown Montreal, mm-hmm. that Street Fighter.
Okay, me and you, one day we're gonna have to I have to take you on.
We're gonna do this.
Wait. Which Street Fighter game are you good at?
Pretty much any Street Fighter game, but the one they have downtown is like Super Street Fighter, I think.
Okay. Well, I will request Third Strike.
Yeah, but you know the thing is that okay. So I don't know if you ever saw the movie War Games or even the original Tron and or the Last Starfighter, all 80s. Movies that somehow employed or involved video game or mm-hmm. video games or like the medium within the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They all enjoyed modest success. Like most of them were pretty much big hits. This movie tanked at the box office. And what I find really disappointing about this movie, as much as I like to poke fun at the movie and as much as I do enjoy watching it, I really do think that Universal Studios was given a chance to revolutionize the video game movie. Just like Nintendo revolutionized the home console market at the time, and they completely failed. And I think it was a missed opportunity. Like, I think this movie could have gone on to make billions of dollars along the years with, you know, VOD release and DVD release and Blu-ray release and just the amount of money they can make overseas and sequels and you name it. Mm-hmm. And they completely went at it in the most way possible, just trying to make a quick buck, and it's a real damn shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, what other movie is like this? Like, there's no movie like this. And I don't know, for me personally, like, I think there's something wonderfully nostalgic and amazing about watching these kids play Double Dragon, Turtles in Time, Ninja Gaiden, and not just on the NES console, which appears several times in the movie, but also, like, at the arcade, you know? So mm-hmm. even though it's really cheesy, for, I think, gamers, it's sort of like a perfect escape into a very simple time when, you know, gamers grew up on old 8-bit Nintendo games that honestly seemed impossible to beat, and I think were impossible to beat unless you subscribe to Nintendo Power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, think of like games like the original Legend of Zelda and or Chrono Trigger and or the Mega Man series and or Battletoads. Like, those games are almost impossible to beat unless you have some kind of like cheat code or hints or maps or what have you. Mm-hmm. And nowadays it's different, because nowadays you don't need Nintendo Power. You know, you just... Mm-hmm. You just go online, surf the World Wide Web, find mm-hmm. a single secret and cheat code, and you name it.
Yeah, that's why I found it funny too. That scene where Haley calls was a Nintendo Power, trying to get like all the facts and cheats for those scenes there, when she was like writing them down on paper to prepare for the tournament.
I totally forgot about that scene. Nintendo Power is featured in this. Well, not Nintendo Power the magazine, but
yeah, I wouldn't say Nintendo Power the magazine, but like, you know,
the call center.
The call center. You know, like how they would do in the '80s. I just found it funny.
I completely forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was I don't know if you heard about this. There was a reunion. I think it was back in 2008 at the Alamo Drafthouse. So they invited the director Tom Holland, and I think they brought in the cast too. And they actually revealed an extra hour of footage that was cut from the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which basically explains all the plot holes. Because this movie...
I was just about to say that. Because, like, another reason why I hate the movie, because there's so many plot holes. I was like, my God. Yeah. I really didn't know what was really going on until, like, maybe a bit at the end.
I still have no idea what's going on in this movie. Like,
there's a little more clarification in the end, but it was just, like, the story progression was like, this is weird.
I would say that if you get the opportunity and you are a video game fan, you should definitely watch The Wizard just for that nostalgic feeling of seeing some of your old favorite games in action on a different format, and just have fun with this really goofy movie.
Also, this movie cost $6 million to make, and it made only $13 million at the box office. Compare that to something like The Avengers nowadays that makes like $1 billion worldwide,
mm-hmm.
right? Not a lot of money. What's interesting is a lot of the NES games that appear in the arcade scenes, like a lot of people were like, well, that wasn't released in the arcade, but actually it's not true, because Nintendo had an arcade cabinet called Play Choice 10, which was amazing because these machines would let the gamers choose between a number of NES games So you can, like, put your quarter in and choose what game you want to play. Why don't they do that nowadays? Like, that would be amazing. You go to your arcade and you can play, like, one of 10 games. And you know when Lucas has his power glove and he punches his keys? It's actually the famous five tones from Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So I think that's my favorite bit of... There's lots of trivia to this movie. I think that's my favorite bit of trivia. That's about it. Yeah, I really love this movie. I honestly recommend everyone watch it if you haven't seen it. Aaron, any closing remarks?
My closing remarks would be like, if you've never seen it before, this is it's a fun movie to watch, and especially you know, you get to, it's obviously I think, well, I don't even know where I'm going with this anymore.
It's a product of its time.
Yeah, it's a product of its time, and it's fun to just watch, like, the Nintendo references in the game. I mean, like, It's an all-around fun movie. I don't think it should be taken seriously.
It really is amazing to watch Bridges play the NES console with the classic controller.
I totally agree with that. I mean, it was just...
Yeah.
It's exactly... The movie pretty much did justice defining the generation of Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and this is a time where, last thing I'll say is, it was very rare, it was extremely rare to see video games featured in movies, much less mentioned. And, you know, The Wizard might not have been a game changer. It's not a cinematic classic, but it developed...
But I think another...
And it developed... Yeah, it just developed a cult following for a reason. It's easy to understand why.
Mm-hmm. And, I think another cool thing about this game is... about the movie, sorry, is how it introduced competitive gaming. You know, like, towards the end, when you see, like, these tournament competitions, I think that was pretty cool to see at its time, competitive Super Mario Bros.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Mm-hmm. The movie might have tanked the box office, but it did wonders for those tournaments, and also for Super Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure we'll see a lot more of when we see Mario Maker come out and people challenging each other with their own designed levels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, guys, this has been a great N-Express. Where can we find you guys? Aaron?
You can find me on Twitter at TheTermless6, and you can also find me on iTunes, where I host a PC gaming podcast called FTW Gaming Podcast.
All right, and Ricky, where are you?
You can find me over at soundonsite.org. That's sound. On site, SIGHT. I podcast the Game of Thrones podcast, the Walking Dead podcast, and the movie podcast, as well as, of course, N Express podcast on Twitter. Sound on site, like us on Facebook, follow us on Tumblr. Apologies for the shorter podcast this week, the shorter episode, but we had some technical difficulties, but we'll be back in full form next week to discuss Mega Man for Mega Man Month. Woo!
All right, and I am Tim Mason. You can find me on Twitter at TheFreeMason, that is MAISON, and on the game section of soundonsite.org. Thanks again for listening. Feel free to comment, let us know what you think about Mario Maker, where you see the future of Mario going, or tell us how much you love and or hate The Wizard. I'm going to go and buy a power glove online to mount on my wall. Talk to you guys next time.
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
Yeah, well, just keep your power gloves off her, pal, huh? Go ahead, Jimmy, show them what you got. Go ahead!
Raise it bit by bit, okay?
If you don't know the culture, here's the whole structure.
We had enough of the lackluster. Trust us, we get the kind of games you can't win in Blockbuster.
Game related, raise it bit by bit. Yo, D, link up the cable, we'll go hit for hit. Phantasma, plasma, particle beam means I have you on the run. Rendered effects hot like magnets.
I play games by Capcom with a power glove strapped on any platform. I don't spend my dough on platform. Video games, I got many to play before my
my life expires to fill my desires.
Mastering your hardest bar, shattering our stars across, ain't hard to cross the finish line, floating on Daytona. West gets a corner, I get them all at cost. RPG platform, we transform like Macross.
Rival schools, buy two, purchase, you ought to. It came with one free CD, it's like I bought two. I hope they make part two for Dreamcast, cause games I've seen in bags you won't believe they had.
Getting calluses, turning over asteroids, graviton bombs destroyed, getting moms annoyed. Now I'm hacking nightmare creatures, features splat across the screen, get more clean each year.
I remember my homie and coach at the most, a ColecoVision. Every week I visit, play a doggy called Junior Venture. Rock and roll games I thought was dope while my moms was watching soaps.
I'm on the next level, I got a double barrel shotgun in the Doom world, waiting on the next devil. Armor's low, check the arsenal, rupture, the main conductor playing disruptor.
I remember Ninja got it, finished it finally with Ramon. Wouldn't answer the phone, this was before getting blown. I own the first Nintendo Power with the maps of Zelda, helped me conquer in an hour. Let me tell you about the proto culture.
If you don't know the culture, here's the whole structure.
We had enough for the lack of the trust us. We get the kind of games you can't rent in blockbusters. Let me tell you about the proto culture.
If you don't know the culture, here's the whole structure.
We had enough for the lack of the trust us. We get the kind of games you can't rent in blockbusters.
What happened to Game Fan? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was cool at first. Now we got Game of Bubble, though.
In Storm, though, it's about East Storm.
Man, EGM is how we win.
Hey, KU, you know my Sega collection is massive. Got all the passes and classics. Here's all Dway, now Panzer's Way. Originality that made me a fan today.
It's pandemonium, it's like Toys R Us. Flipping the next Saturn game brings out the boys in us. It's poisonous. Taking out the boys in blue when Grand Theft Auto snatch a Rolls Royce to use.
Yeah, I'll admit that PlayStation improved. Come visit feudal Japan with me and Tenchu. Bushido Blade 2 with swordplay so accurate. Mega Man Legends, but I had to buy a map for it.
I'll fence Hio to get an E.